KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus sports station. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back and happy Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can always check us out on Facebook as well at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com. If you want to check out my podcast page, it is at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. And you can get, I do believe that we have four or five shows up already. We have it, at least the last four that are up. I'm happy about that. And if you want to place a bet in Iowa, register at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Easy to use. Download the app. Register using talent code STEEN100 to get great first bet deals. Enjoy boosted odds specials, great parlay selections, daily specials. If you're going to bet in Iowa, download BetMGM app and enjoy. Oh, that's a mouthful. Okay, so today, Jonathan Schaefer coming back in after being at the wrestling tournament for a week. He has a week reprieve, and then it's right back into girls basketball. He is the sports director at Local 5. He'll be coming in at 4:20 in the next segment. And Maddie Nelson at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, talking Iowa State. You could tell Baylor was a little rusty last night, and Iowa State played a really good game. So there's a little, it's not happy, so we'll have to see what we call it. I want to talk a little bit about the Cyclone women. They're having a really good year. And yesterday, when Tiff was on, we were talking about Caitlin Clark and Lexi Dornoski and Aubrey and Ashley Jones, Grace Berg. I mean, there's just so many talented young gals in playing basketball in the state of Iowa right now. And it's girls basketball is a lot of fun to watch. And there's a lot of talent out there. So that'll be exciting. I want to talk yesterday. I mean, we just got, we were getting bits and pieces yesterday and on the Tiger Woods and the car accident and a little knowledge about myself. I couldn't be a bigger Tiger Woods fan. I remember watching him during Easter when he won his first Masters, when he shot a horrible opening nine and then totally blew everybody away in the tournament. And what he's done in the golfing world since that point is quite amazing. We've talked a lot about how difficult it is to even to be a little famous, but when you're somebody who a lot of people look up to and everything you do and every move you make is news, that puts a lot of pressure on yourself. And Tiger is right up there. We talked about the four people yesterday. We talked about Tom Brady. We talked about Michael Jordan. We talked about Wayne Gretzky. And we talked about Tiger. All four of them have been at the pinnacle of their sport. And, Michael Jordan was not, he had a couple of years in there where he lost his father and he had some... He had some maybe gambling issues or the league was concerned about some of the people that might be hanging around, people that he hung around with, and, kind of took a couple of years away just to get away and then came back and the rest is history. You win three before, you win three after, you win six, and you become the goat of the goats. And, all of... Everybody even, you know, I worry on a daily basis about saying something. I mean, I'm trying to be real, but I'm also trying not to say something that would get me, would get, not even that would get me in trouble, but would cause undue harm on somebody. I don't care if I have a take and you, and the audience doesn't like my take and they want to give me grief for it. I'm all for that, but I don't want to say something, you know, about someone that brings that upon them. And trust me, we talk on this show. We've talked on this show. I'm an Iowa State fan. We've talked about Steve Prohm. I don't want Steve Prohm to lose his job. It's just the way sports are. I'm sorry. And that's it. So when I was talking to a few of my buddies today and we're talking about Tiger, and if you listen to some of the sports talk today, a lot of this is the questions that the press were asking yesterday the most. They asked the pertinent ones, how bad is it? What's it look like? But they were bound and determined that this was going to be because he was under the influence of something, and you know, they said he didn't look good on Sunday, and I said he looked exhausted on Sunday. And with everything he's going through, I can't imagine when you want to be the best of the best and you can't do what you do so well. It's very trying, and he had to be there. And then he did a special the next day with Jada Pinkett, David Spade, and Dwayne Wade. And he was going back to do some more, and that's where he was heading that morning. From the looks of everything that has been posted out today, there is no ticket going to be written. There was no, he wasn't under the influence is what they're saying. I don't know if when he went into surgery, if they took toxicology, I don't know. I don't think that's been, and it shouldn't, maybe it shouldn't be known. I don't know. But you know, that was, and I have to admit, one of the first things I said to my oldest son, Zach, was that's the thing I hope it's not, because he's been through enough and his family have been through enough, and partially, not even partially, most of the stuff that his family has gone through has been because of things that he's not done correctly. But he has corrected his relationship with his ex-wife, his children, and he has a new girlfriend that he's had for a while. Listen, it needs to be talked about, and I understand why it's being talked about, but it shouldn't be the number one thing that's being talked about. Some of the things that you could have talked about is the number of outpouring of people from all different avenues, all different people, CEOs and whatever, saying that, you know, hoping that he has a quick recovery and saying that he's just this, that it's going to be okay, because the reason that we're as good and strong as we are is because he's as good as strong as he is. And, but when you read through this, and, it's from, you know, when you see his car, and I mean, there's Genesis, the maker of the car that he is in, not that they wanted publicity from this, but that car saved his life. And that, I mean, that the safety of your car means something. But he had, from the medical center in UCLA, he suffered comminuted open fractures, bones that were broken into more than two pieces, and with breaks in the skin in the upper and lower portion of his tibia and fibula of his right leg. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that sounds really bad. And that's not even talking about the ankle and foot injuries that he had. They said they placed a rod into the tibia of Wood's right leg, and they used a combination of screws and pins to stabilize injuries to his foot and ankle. Woods also suffered trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of his right leg, which required surgeons to release the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. That doesn't sound good. The statement also did not include details about Woods' left leg. That was his right leg. In an earlier statement on Tuesday's Woods agent Mark Steinberg said he suffered multiple injuries. Some of the other people that need to have kudos. The first person that was at the crash, who now he's had to do so many interviews, and you can tell he wants to be nowhere near doing these interviews. But that's what's, you know, he's kind of going through that right now. And I mean, that happens. And it is Deputy Carlos Gonzalez. And he did a great job this morning. I mean, he arrived on the scene, said he started talking to Tiger, realized who he was. I think it kind of shocked him who he was. And so where we're at right now is hopefully Tiger can, you know, a lot of people today are saying, well, he is strong enough and all of that to play golf again competitively. And I was listening to that as I was driving into the radio station. And as a fan, I would love that. As a father, I would love him to be able to walk and play golf with his son whenever he wants to and watch his son grow up and maybe help his son or daughter either try to become the athlete that he is. Probably not going to happen because they just don't come along that often, but watching his young son right now play golf, he's really good right now. And it'll be fun to see what he does. His daughter is a little not so much in the spotlight, which is fine. But that's what I'm hoping for. I hope that he gets to live a life as a father, maybe as a husband again. But that is what I'm hoping for. And like I've said before, there is not a bigger fan of Tiger Woods out there than myself. I don't care if he wins another tournament. I don't care if he gets to Jack. I don't care about any of that. I want him to be able to enjoy time with his family. Because from watching him play with his son, he looked a lot more happy and a lot more, you know, just at ease than he was when he played the couple of tournaments in the last tournament. And for him, the last tournament he played, he didn't play poorly in. He had a bad back. It was cold. It's not the time that you usually play in the Masters. He played, he finished 38th. And he barely could get around. But if the last place he gets to play is his favorite place to play, let that be. He has all kinds of business dealings that he does. Like I said, he's doing stuff with the Golf Channel. If anybody doesn't think that he would be great in the booth, I think Tiger and Phil Mickelson would be two of the best people to have in the booth just because of their quick-wittedness and their knowledge of all the players and with how golf is right now. So he has all kinds of options. He has companies that he deals with. I mean, everything's going to be fine. He just needs to get through this. But let's take a step back and say, okay, it doesn't matter if he wins another tournament. He's already, I told you yesterday when we were going through the four GOATs, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, even though I'm just as big a Michael Jordan fan, I still, what he has done, and from the outpouring that you're seeing, now you'd see that same outpouring for any of those four guys. But the fact that the amount of people, young people, that are now interested in golf, which besides the cost of getting the equipment, you can practice on your own. You can do whatever you can and make yourself better. You don't have to be on a team. You don't have to pay money to be in AAU or USSSA or whatever you're doing. And, you know, he would be a great golf coach. He'd be a great golf professional, you know, professional teacher of all that. I mean, anything he wants to do, he can do. He doesn't have to come back and play golf. Would we all like to see him come back and play golf and be healthy? Yes. At the detriment of his body and lifespan, life expectancy, and not being around his family and his children, no. That's my take on that. He's done enough to be whatever he wants to be. And like I said, I want to go back to it one more time. Watching him play golf with his son in that father-son tournament was the happiest I think I've ever seen him. you know, when he won the Masters and he ran over and he hugged his dad, that was amazing. When he won the Masters the last time and got to hug his mom, that was amazing. But seeing him with his kids and seeing him with his son playing golf, I'm okay if that's the last thing I remember of Tiger Woods. I'm perfectly fine with that. And I think more people are going to come around to that. He's done enough in golf that he should be fine. If you're not going to call him the greatest, you have to. He's in the top five. And if you're in the top five of a sport, I think you're pretty well off. And I think you'll do fine. So that was kind of my Tiger take. I want him to get better. I'm hoping now that he's been at least talking and everything's okay. There wasn't any more physical injuries anywhere else. They really didn't talk about his back any. Maybe they don't know. He's not going to know until he gets up and moves around. And I'm assuming, even though modern medicine's pretty crazy, they're probably going to have him up in 3 or 4 days making him do stuff. But if you read those two paragraphs of what he went through in surgery yesterday, that is not normal, and that is not a normal surgery. So that's that, and I apologize for that. But when something happens to an athlete, I mean, I compare, you know, at least we didn't lose Tiger like we lost Kobe, and I would have been saying the same things about Kobe, which we're about ready to be. I mean, it's been a year for him, and it doesn't seem like that's humanly possible that it's been that. Okay, I feel better now. Hopefully you guys feel better too and agree with some of my takes. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. We bring in you sports every day. Let's do that over. Bringing sports your way every day. I'm all shook up here. I have John Schaefer coming on to talk local sports. He's back from wrestling. Next.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Not as nice a day out there today, but it still wasn't bad. It wasn't below zero. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Got one of my favorite guests. Gonna hit the button right there. He was a day one guy and makes my job easy and makes my life better because he's a part of it. Mr. John Schaefer, he is the sports director at Local 5. He is at J_Schaefer, WOI. Schaefer, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Steen. Just working on some stuff for the newscast and getting ready for some 1A hoops tonight.
I love it, and it's that great time of year when you hit wrestling, and then you hit girls basketball, then you hit boys basketball, but they all kind of overlap a little bit. It's so much fun. We talked a little bit about this on the phone, but the fact that you guys were the sound and the pictures of the state wrestling tournament, congrats to you, buddy.
Thanks. Yeah, we got all 10 Central Iowa champs from across the two classes. I got sound from them and got highlights on as well that Saturday night. So a lot of fun there, and actually one of those wrestlers will be our athlete of the week tonight, giving him a little bit more of a spotlight. So
that's awesome. And I had Cody on Monday to kind of give a wrap up, and you know how that goes. It's like, Cody, how was state wrestling? And then, man, he was on fire, and it's so much fun to, you know. And I think the two of us, and I know that you're going to agree with this too, the biggest thing that should come out of that is kudos to all those young men and women that were there for all the things they did to be able to get there. That was the first victory. All the rest of the victories were a lot of fun. But the fact that they made it there, pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, me and Cody chat a lot during the state wrestling meet because guess what? He's kind of the go-to guy for anything you need to know. And we both agreed, you know, that's the biggest win that anybody could have asked for, the fact that we were wrestling in front of 5,300 plus, you know, at Wells Fargo Arena. And the energy was there and those kids made it happen. You know, every single one of them got there, you know, and so that's kudos to them, whether you place first or 16th in your weight class. You know, that's a big kudos to them.
It does. It just doesn't matter. The fact that you fought as hard as you did to get where you were and to finish that out is pretty amazing. I took a little bit of all of the first segment to talk about the accident with Tiger Woods. I know that you feel the same way. My golfing love, even though I love old time golf too, and I'm a huge Jack Nicklaus fan and Arnold Palmer, and I know what they all did. The reason that most of us golf, I mean, Tiger Woods brought golf to all of us and made it seem fun. I mean, people said, well, let's go play golf. I'm like, yeah. And then I watched and I'm like, okay, if I can't play like that, but he makes me want to get out and play golf, man. We got lucky that we still have him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting you say that because Tiger is the golfer of my generation. You know, when you really think about it, growing up for me, Tiger Woods became the star, superstar, you know, and golf hadn't really had one of those for a little bit. And so Tiger's rise and dominance in the late 90s, early 2000s, and through the 2000s was my childhood, so to speak. And so when you see an icon like that, you know, go through what he's dealing with right now, one, you're just thankful that he's alive. And you know, I think the golf side of it comes secondary. You don't care if he gets to golf ever again because you're just happy that he survived it. You know, with some of the other sports celebrities we've seen, the tragedy we've seen over the last year and in some sports capacity. So to hear that he's alive is great. Someday, maybe, will he be back on a golf course? I can only hope so. But first and foremost, health is the priority.
And one of the things that I stated in all of this is I would be perfectly fine if the only time I ever get to see him play golf again is he gets to play golf with his son. I'd be fine with that. I mean, he's given me enough joy from what he's done. I would love just to see him have joy do that, and I think I would be cool with that. If he comes back, and don't doubt. See, I think that's the biggest thing that people have said so far, is don't doubt him. Because whenever somebody doubts him, then it goads him into doing it. I would rather people don't doubt him, so he doesn't have to think that he has to do that. Because when you start looking at the horrificness of what this injury was, the horrificness of what he's gone through with his knees and his back is just as bad. I mean, what they're doing to him to try to get his back in, that's not normal, and that's not things that people would go through. And he's done it multiple times, and he's given us a ton of glory, I'm okay, and I know you would be too. You know, just being able to be with his family should be enough for all of us. And if it's something he wants to do, that's awesome. And it's funny how all of his friends are coming out too, and they're like, yeah, we don't care about golf. If Tiger right now said, hey, I need you guys to come take care of me, we'd all give up, and we'd come take care of you because you've taken care of us. And that's the biggest kudos anybody could ever get.
Absolutely. And you look at what he's done for the growth of the game of the golf, not just, you know, you and me, Steen, but, you know, for the diversity's sake of golf and the encouragement he's given to a community that hasn't really tied itself into the game prior, you know. And so he's become an icon for so many, and he's the Michael Jordan of golf, if we're being honest. You know, he has his own branding, and so the way he played throughout his career, it changed the way the game had to be played by the younger guys. I mean, if you look at the fitness side of things, and he was really at the forefront of the fitness and just the grind, and then the mental game. We all know golfers are a little bit off their rocker at times, but you know, the mental game, he was just such an intense persona on the golf course. And what I think I loved the most about the older version of Tiger Woods, the one that most recently won a Masters, was he had joy when he played golf. And I think that was the one thing we missed in his younger side of the career. You felt like he was so focused on just win, win, win. You didn't see that lighter-hearted side of him. And I think we got to see that curtain pulled back just a little bit more in the recent years. And that was just an absolute pleasure. And so, you know, like you said, if he doesn't golf ever again, fine. I frankly think it'd be fun to see him on the bag for his son someday on the pro tour. Wouldn't that be fun?
How would you not love that? I mean, that would be the best. Once again, we're talking to John Schaefer, sports director at Local 5. He is at J_Schaefer WOI. Before we hop into some more high school stuff, today, or maybe it was Monday, the NCAA said they're thinking of allowing in different spots up to 25% capacity for winter championships and Division I fall championships that are played in the spring. So it looks like we're going to get a little bit of fans to make maybe the NCAA tournament be a little bit more exciting. That's probably maybe the Super Bowl for a day, but that first weekend of the NCAA tournament, John, I mean, that's every sports fan's biggest weekend. You get a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you get wall-to-wall basketball. And the fact that there'll be a few people there, I think, is going to make it more exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, any type of atmosphere, we've seen it with Drake and with Iowa, and the differences between the two and when fans are there. And the energy in our building and the caliber of energy on the floor changes dynamically, in my opinion. Not to say that the quality of the product in the Big Ten is down because there aren't fans, but, you know, it's just those guys feed off that. And you're looking to benches to create that energy like we've talked about. And so I think an NCAA tournament, it's one, you know, the fans have to be there for the money aspect, but two, they've got to be there to provide that energy in those arenas for these games, because these are the biggest games of the season for these 68 teams.
And it is. And, you know, we know that Iowa's going to make it. I'm saying, if they continue, even though it's difficult with some of the injuries, Drake has a pretty good shot at making it as well. And kudos to Coach DeVries for doing what he's pulled off this year in this COVID time, having to play back-to-back games against the same team. John, that would be so hard to do.
Yeah, I can only imagine the firestorm we'd get from a couple of the other coaches in Big Ten and Big 12 if they found out they had to play, you know, back-to-back against Ohio State at Ohio State or something like that. Can you imagine?
Oh, no. It wouldn't happen.
No, and so you got to give Drake a lot of credit. And like you said, the injuries they're having to navigate, you hate to see Roman Penn and Tank Hempel go down because those are two of the guys for Drake this season. And Roman's been that leader on and off the floor for them. And so, you know, Darren's going to find a way to get that team to finish strong here. And I think they do get into the tournament as long as they don't stumble against, I believe it's Bradley this weekend, if I remember right.
And then the
Missouri or Evansville, Valley. One of the two.
I think it is Bradley and Missouri Valley tournament. You know, as long as they win a couple of games, don't go out early. I agree with you. It is about that time. So we have 5A for girls tournament pairings, some good games. And I've seen a lot of these. I haven't seen Cedar Falls, I haven't seen Waterloo West, and I haven't seen Iowa City West. But I've seen Johnston play, I've seen Centennial play, I've seen Southeast Polk play, I've seen Dowling play, and I've seen Waukee play. And it's going to be fun down at the Well to watch. That's up and down basketball. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you got to kind of throw the records out the window a little bit right now with the way the season went with COVID for some of these teams. Waukee at the one seed it makes sense, but Johnston by all means is got to be the favorite in my opinion, just with how they've played the season and the way they won the title last year. I know they had some turnover, but they're a very good team. Shot the Centennial Roosevelt game last night. That was a nail biter, and Centennial is going to have their hands full with Southeast Polk. That's going to be a dandy in the first round. And you got to love that we're starting with 5A right out of the gates at 9 a.m. on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, and that's – I like that. I like when they do that. I would rather they flip a coin and have no idea – you know, it shouldn't go small school to large school all the time, and I'm glad they do that. You do have a couple of – let's see, in 3A, West Lyon, West Burlington, nope. In 2A, we have Bondurant, Farrar, and Dallas Center Grimes, and Ballard's in there too. I've actually seen a lot of clips on Ballard. Their girls' team's a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, it's going to be nice. You get a little bit of fans down there. It has a lot of central Iowa feel to it, and that's always, you know, it's good for radio talk, but it's always fun. And you know, downtown Des Moines needed that, you know, and to see cars down there and to see people in the skywalks in masks, you know, it felt right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for the most part, people did what they were supposed to. That's a tough wrestling crowd, you know. There's going to be plenty with their own opinions in wrestling, basketball, what have you. And so, but yeah, I mean, I think that there's just a liveliness and some normalcy back downtown. And I can tell you this much, the CBB was thrilled to have people in, even if it was a limited capacity. Wells Fargo Arena was thrilled to have people. Concessions were busy, and you know, people enjoyed themselves. Again, I go back to the fact that we've been looking for stuff that we can do to get out of the house a little bit now that things are starting to maybe go the right direction for us. And so I think that's the big thing. I think you're going to see some good crowds at Wells Fargo Arena. They'll still be spread out accordingly and limited in capacity, and that's all right, because you know, the girls tournament and the boys tournament don't tend to fill up the top bowl anyway. So I think we're going to see a nice dispersal of the crowd and have a good energy in the arena.
Before we go, and we got about 2 minutes left, Luca Garza came out and said some interesting stuff the other day about how difficult this season's been. And the Iowa baseball team kind of went through that too, with Ben Norman coming out saying, you know, we tested positive, we went back and got retested, and now we're still in this, you know, section where nobody knows what we're going to do. But Luca Garza said, you know, we go from our apartment to practice to study room to do our online learning, and we go back to practice, we eat, and we go to bed, and that's all we do. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy, folks. And the fact that you have someone who is pretty much if he's not the big favorite for player of the year, he's right there. To be able to come out and talk about that, number one, it shows his how good he is about filling that. I lost the word I was looking for. But the fact that, you know, he's a senior, he's a leader, and he's trying to help the rest of the team. You have some young kids on this team. It just shows just the type of person that Luca Garza is, and how he accepted Roy Marble and gave him more kudos than himself. Man, I fell in love with Luca Garza that night.
Yeah, absolutely. Luca's always been one to kind of be, he has a great perspective on what's going on around him. I think that's been a part of the mental side of things for him too. And the mental side of being a student athlete is so different because you don't have that social interaction this year. And again, it magnifies the fact that they are professionals to an extent this year. You know, Steen, we've had that conversation, but that is the life of a professional athlete. You eat, sleep, and work basketball or whatever sport you're in. And yeah, they've got a couple of classes in there that they have to focus on and as they pursue degrees, but you know, they really, it's about being an athlete right now for them. And I think most of those guys would tell you it's a different kind of mindset, and they lack that social interaction that, you know, it's a defining time, and you need that perspective of just talking to each other.
I get it. I appreciate you coming back, and I'm glad we got to talk about wrestling and some other local sports. I'll text you next week and see how you're available, and we can talk girls basketball and boys basketball. Thanks, Schaff.
Sounds good, Steen.
John Schaefer, everybody, local sportsman, listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports. Twitter with at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can always go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to the show live. If you want to check out my podcast page, it's at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. If you want to place a bet in Iowa, register at BetMGM, the king of sports books. Easy to download app. Register using talent code STEEN100 to get great first bet deals. Enjoy boosted odds specials, great parlays selection, daily specials. If you're going to bet in Iowa, please download BetMGM app and enjoy. Thanks to John Schaefer for coming in and talking some high school wrestling, and you know, they were, I think they might have been the only one that was down there all the days, and kudos to WOI. Like I said, Schaefer has been from day one, and it's just a joy to get to talk to him all the time. One of the things I wanted to talk about real quick here in this hour, the National Football League is really trying to, they're having another seminar, and it's happening right now this week. It's called At NFL Women's Careers in Football, and you know, trying to get more female participation in the National Football League, in the league office itself, and then in the teams. And you know, one of the people, Bruce Arians, with the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, employs the Tampa Bay Buccaneers employ a great many women in their organization. It's something that's going to keep happening. You know, we had, I think her name was Sarah Jones, was the one of the sideline officials for the Super Bowl. That's a big deal. They've had times where they've had multiple women doing football games together. It's overdue. You know, if you listen to this show yesterday and you happen to listen to Tiff come in here and talk with me, her sports knowledge and all the things that she does, she's so good at what she does and makes our show so much better when she's in here. And then just sitting around and talking to my wife and our friend group, you know, it's everybody, and the love of sports, and it doesn't, it's not based on being a man or a woman. That's just crazy. You know, and the fact that they're having to, you know, break through doors and walls to get in. Well, kudos to them for doing that. So, proud of the NFL for trying. Let's give them credit for trying. And, you know, there's a lot of things the NFL doesn't do as well as everybody would like, but it's good that they're doing this. And I think they've hired some people from doing this. So, hopefully they keep that up and we'll see, you know, just a wider participation rate in all sports, not just football. I've been a huge proponent of Becky Harmon in the National Basketball Association getting a head coaching job. I think she would be great. She's been under some of the best coaches in the NBA, and she deserves a shot, and hopefully she'll get that shot sooner rather than later. J.J. Watt is still out there. John Clayton came out today and said, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you're not going to want to hear this, but he thinks the three top teams to land J.J. Watt is Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo. I get Green Bay because that's his home, you know, Wisconsin kid. Can't imagine Buffalo getting someone of his stature and talent added to that defense. And I think it would help the Tennessee defense. That was Tennessee's biggest problem at times last year, was getting pressure on the quarterback and not being able to stop the run late in games. So we'll see what happens to him. Speaking of the Tennessee Titans, Isaiah Wilson, he was a first-round pick of the Titans, has cut all ties with social media. He was a 29th pick for the Tennessee Titans, and I think you can only say that his season was a train wreck from the beginning. He did not do a good job of following through with some of the things he should be off the field. It was just issue after issue after issue, probably going to get cut. Has football talent. He was the 29th pick. It's there. Sometimes you just have to realize and remember that you are an employee. That's what it is, and you can't do that stuff. Floyd Mayweather turned 45 today. It doesn't seem like that he should be 45. That's just crazy talk. And one of the things I wanted to mention, and I've mentioned a couple of albums this week. One of the albums that came out in 1976 on this date, let me find it. I know what it is, but I'm going to make sure I hit the date right. It was Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti, and it is probably, I have two favorite albums that I listen to all the time. Well, from older albums, I have albums I listen to all the time now too, but just ones that are always my go-to, and one was Physical Graffiti, and the other is Dark Side of the Moon with Pink Floyd. I mean, those are my two go-to. If I'm out and about, those are my two go-to albums. But 1976, on this date, it came out, which is, well, that was a long time ago. But one of the albums, and I told you that I had sold a lot of my albums from moving. It's too much to move. And I'm trying to come up with I told my wife top 10, but I think I'm going to have to make it a top 20. But so 20 albums that I want to go back out and purchase, just so I have them. Since my sons were nice enough to buy me a turntable for Christmas, which was very nice of them. Okay, so 1975, I apologize, I said 77. So 1975, Led Zeppelin released Physical Graffiti. It is a terrific. I mean, there's no bad songs. It's just a terrific album. That with Dark Side of the Moon. You know, I'm just a huge Pink Floyd fan. My wife has no idea why. I took my wife to a Pink Floyd concert when it was outdoors in Ames, and she had no idea what we were watching or doing. Even though my friends and I, we all had fun, she didn't understand it. And she was our designated driver because I do believe that she was pregnant with our first son. So she did not have a good time, and I've tried to make that up to her and probably have failed miserably. It is getting exciting, though, that high school, once wrestling gets done, then high school basketball is going to kick off. It kicks off Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And like John Schaefer just said, the sports director at WOI5, it is Class 5A starting it off, right? Boom. Just Waukee Downing Catholic, first game, 9 a.m. Monday morning, March 1st. So kudos to those two schools. Followed up with Southeast Polk Ankeny Centennial at 11, Johnston and Cedar Falls at 1, and Waterloo West and Iowa City West coming up next. So great things happening there. Some interesting stuff today. Tyler Cook, who has been playing for the G League Wolves team, has signed at least a 10-day contract to play with the Brooklyn Nets, who have a couple of big men that are hurt right now, not playing. Boy, what an opportunity for Tyler Cook to go into an organization with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And he does the one thing that none of them do, and that's play defense and rebound. So here's crossing your fingers for Tyler Cook. I hope that he can stay, and I think it's a really good fit, and I'm very curious to see how they are going to do. You know, 10-day contracts for these guys are difficult, and it's not easy. They're not used to the travel, and they're playing in a bubble right now down in Florida, like the NBA did last year. The G League is doing that right now. So, one more thing before we go, I got about 30 seconds. So I was talking about the Iowa State gymnast, and I could not remember her name, and I looked it up today, but it was easy to look up because she won Big 12 Gymnast of the Week, and her name is Addie DeJesus. So congrats to her. She is a ball of fire. If you haven't seen, you need to look that up and watch some of her routines. They are between her and the gal from UCLA, and there's another gal from North Carolina, and some of the things that they're doing in gymnastics in college. If you're a gymnastics fan and for the Olympics, I think the United States could be pretty happy because they have some very talented young people coming through. So that's a good thing, and now I have her name, and I don't feel as bad as I did not knowing her name before. When we come back at the top of the hour, we got Maddie Nelson, wide right, Natty Light. He's at MNelson_ISU. We're going to talk about Iowa State men's and women's basketball and talk a little football to Maddie Nelson and Steen after the top of the hour break.